Ladies and gentlemen, we, people of color, daughters and sons of immigrants, we belong to Europe. I am, we are the story of Europe. Hello everybody and welcome to this new episode of We Belong, the podcast that shares the stories of the new daughters of Europe. I'm Yasmin Ouiran and I'm your host. And today I will make you travel to Italy to meet a female entrepreneur. This woman is at the head of a family business called Mulan. It's the first company that brought oriental food in Italy, and it's distributed in a large scale in supermarkets and restaurants. Every year, Mulan produces more than 2 million dishes. And so today we're gonna talk about food, but also about business and about being a female entrepreneur while having immigrant roots. The woman that I will introduce you is Italian and Chinese, and her name is Giada Zhang. Hello, Giada.
Hi, Yasmin. It's a very great pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you. Giada, your work is, for me personally, very inspiring because I think that there are, if I don't make a mistake, there are 5% of women as CEO on, for example, on Fortune 500 companies. I mean, there is such a long way to go before achieving equality in the business sector. And I am very, very happy to see and meet women that are CEO. So what is your word for our audience today? You know, for every episode we ask a word that would define your personality or the work that you carry on. So what's your word?
Well, Yasmin, that's a very tough question. But if I had to think of one word that describes me, and really it's something that I follow every day in everything I do, I would say it's resilience. Resilience is a person's mental ability to quickly recover from everything that you can call adversity. I think resilience is like bending like a bamboo instead of breaking. And possessing resilience over time is something that you build after trying. And this allows you to have like very powerful traits. One of them is accepting adversity as something, as the status quo. Nothing, we know that nothing is easy and everything comes with practice. So something that I've really learned from all the path that I had so far is really to develop the flexibility. And one of the Asian philosopher, probably you know about him, Lao Tzu, it's one of the most known Asian philosopher. He always said, water is fluid, soft, and everywhere it goes is very flexible. So what's interesting though, although it's very soft, when it goes through the rock, it becomes very, it's still soft and fluid, but it also overcomes every difficulties because it goes through many rocks, many mountains. So the paradox here is what is soft is strong. So what we have as adversity is what makes us resilient, and is the resilience that is going to make us successful women.
Thank you. I mean, such a philosophical reply. And, you know, I often hear from entrepreneurs that the main skill you need to succeed is really resilience, to be resilient. So thank you for sharing this and especially pointing out this you know, quality that you have and that I'm sure helped you throughout your career. You know, your work, your business that you launched is called Mulan, as we say it, right? It makes me think about, you know, the Disney cartoon, but maybe it's just my limited Western knowledge. So,
no, actually, it is what we wanted. So when the company was founded, what we thought was, how can we name this company with something that represents us, but also something that can be remarkable and remembered by everybody. And Mulan is actually interesting because most of the people know it as the Disney cartoon, the famous women warrior who went on war, and through her feminine strategy, she was able to actually win and conquer China. And so it's actually a true story, and it's not just a movies from Disney. It's a true story that happened many, many centuries ago in China. And what is incredible is that it was really something like breaking through back in the old times. You know, talking about centuries ago, China, women, the role of the women were just staying home, taking care of the kids. And that's why it's incredible how a woman back then tried to defend her family, tried to defend her father, and decided to, you know, change completely attitude, become a man, pretend to be a man, and try to go to the world. So when we called our company Mulan is because on one hand, we feel like we are the small warrior, the small Mulan against the world. We want to share something which is ours, the way we produce food, the way we make these authentic Asian recipes, and try to reach as many people as we can. Making Asian food is something very very unique. It's a very niche market. But what we hope is that over time, we can conquer the hearts of all the Italians eating our food. And not only Italians, because right now we're also expanding in Germany, France, and other countries as well. So what represents us is, of course, the Asian heritage. And what makes the difference is that our company is mainly run by female managers. We have female teams, and we truly believe on the female empowerment. And it's very funny that actually the new headquarter where we are right now in Italy, the street where it is, it's called Via Pari Opportunità, which means road of fair opportunities.
Yeah, and gender equality, if we could translate it from Italian. Amazing. And, you know, it's such a beautiful way of carrying out feminism to bring up your culture, your personal identity, and the story of Mulan, which actually is a real character. And at the same time, also achieving parity at, you know, your business level, having, as you mentioned, managers who are female. And I think it's, you know, it's starting to change also in the business sector, but it's super important to do it at our level. And as soon as you have the opportunity as a businesswoman to have positions of power, then you have, you know, you open more room for other women. You also mentioned that your goal is to reach out Italians, and not only Italians, because it's expanding, as you mentioned. But tell us more about, you know, how did it start? And more precisely, you know, today your company has a huge impact in Italy. As we said, more than 2 million dishes are delivered every year. But it's, first of all, a family story, right? And in the 90s, your family moved from China to Italy. So what was the idea behind it? How did Mulan actually came into life?
So my parents, they are originally from China. And back in the old days, Chinese people had the so-called European dream. So they wanted to move to Europe, hoping for a better future. And that's what my parents did. When they came here in Italy, they were very surprised by how beautiful this country was, but also quite disappointed by how close-minded people were at the beginning. So they opened their Chinese restaurants first, and they realized that people were actually categorized mainly in two groups. There were those Italians who were super open-minded and they loved Asian food and they wanted to try as many dishes as they could. And those who were very close-minded and were like, I would never go to an Asian restaurant. And even if they went, that was because they were forced by friends, but they didn't order anything. So that made them understand very well the values of a country, the people who are part of this country, and they thought, okay, our challenge is, since we chose Italy as the place where we want to build our life, we want to make sure that we will allow everybody one day to love our food. And over time, they opened different restaurants. So it became like a restaurant chain. But in order to scale up in the restaurant business is very hard unless you move towards a franchising business model. Otherwise, you need to completely change your vision and your mission. So at that point, we, my family, we thought, what can we do to really make a difference in this sector? And the main core skills that we really have is actually making Asian food. So how can we use these skills to make something very innovative, very disruptive? And that's where we thought of, why don't we make Asian dishes, ready-to-eat Asian dishes for all the supermarket chains? Back then was something that was not there yet. So when we proposed it to some supermarket chains, they loved it. But we didn't even know how to approach them. So the first supermarket chain ever, we went to one point of sale and said, hey, would you be interested in selling Asian food products? And they were like, that sounds interesting. Let's try. And from there, the day after, we brought like spring rolls, fried egg rice, and all the very typical Asian food there. And in a few days, there was a very long queue of people like waiting there, looking forward to be served and looking forward to bring this ready-to-eat Asian food in their homes. From there, we started with one point of sale, with one supermarket chain, today covering more than 5,000 supermarket chains. So this was a story of how we started and how we are where we are today. But it's just the beginning, because now we really have new projects of expanding, of growing, and not being only in Italy, but in all Europe.
Definitely. I hear so much ambition and energy. And also, let's remind that you're only 24 years old, right? Or 25?
Almost 25.
Almost 25. We have the same age, and I'm so amazed to see all the achievements the result that you could achieve.
I can just say the same about you, Yasmin.
Thank you so much. Thank you. But you know, you mentioned something that it's so important. You know, the fact that in Italy, people were like closed-minded, and that's what your parents witnessed when they arrived. And I so much agree with you in the sense that when my father moved to Italy, he is Moroccan, he witnessed so much discrimination and, you know, difficulties too. And I remember, you know, my father had a shop in Turin, in an area, multicultural area. You know, Turin is a city very multicultural, and there, like close to us, just next door, there was a shop of Chinese people, and I used to play a lot with the children of this family company. But I think it's so important to, you know, bring these stories and say it, that yes, there is a problem of exclusion, a social exclusion, difficulty to integrate when you come from a different context. And I read also that, faced in your early years when you were younger, many remarks, many discriminatory remarks when you were young because of your origins. Let's remind also that you were born in Italy, in Cremona, in the north of Italy. How did you feel about that?
So yes, Yasmin, I was born and raised in Cremona, which is a small town in the northern of Italy. There is around 70,000 people. So when I was there, when I was born there, I was actually the only Asian, and more precisely Chinese girl there. So every place I went, I was seen as a different person compared to them. But when you're a kid, you don't realize why people see you in a different way. So yes, especially in elementary school, middle school, when kids are very influenced by their parents, I think I had very, I would say, discriminatory challenges. But over time, at one point I was like, oh, why am I Asian? Like, why do I have these almond-shaped eyes? I wish I could be like all my other friends. But only over time, after some experiences abroad, after being in the States for 1 year, I realized there are places such as the US, the UK, where it's a melting pot. Like, the beauty of being there is that you're surrounded by many different people who bring this diversity on the table, and that's the true value they can bring on a table. So when I came back, I realized, you know what? I shouldn't be ashamed of who I am anymore. I should actually be thankful for what you have. And only by being thankful, you end up having more. I'm this mix of being of Italian, of Chinese, a mix of international as well, because I lived abroad for a long time. So if you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough. But if you concentrate on what you have and you own what you have, you know what your strong and your strengths are, then that's what is going to bring you very far.
Definitely. And you know, you're touching an interesting point, which is the fact of knowing who you are, but also, as you say, owning it and being, you know, conscious that no matter what people would say about you, you still are consistent and continue to do your work, because you know that you belong in society and that you have your place as a multicultural person that has an enriched experience to share with other people. You also loved to read when you were younger, right? You also, I heard that one of your favorite books that you still love nowadays is The Dictionary. Why?
More than, you know, a book, I would say The Dictionary was my best friend. It was my best friend because, of course, being born in a family where there were actually many languages going on, because my parents are originally from China, but where they're from is, it's a city called Wenzhou, and they had a very strong dialect there. So I was actually home speaking with my grandma in the dialect of their city of origin, and then with my parents in Chinese and the school in Italian. So, you know, for a little kid, there are many languages going on, and the dictionary was my best friend, because anytime I didn't know a word, I could understand, that was the place to go. And I know that nobody could judge me, because most of the time when you don't know something, you are afraid of asking. But if you have a dictionary, that's the key of all the answers. So it's all about you, the dictionary, and how much effort you have and you want to put there to really learn the language.
Definitely. And I know that you're also passionate about languages, but especially the Italian language. And you also, while your parents were developing their business, helped them a lot with the administrative tasks, because sometimes, yeah, you were, you know, you're born in Italy, you can speak it and write it and use it easier than the parents. And it's interesting because in many contexts, immigrant sons often develop more skills younger and, you know, take care of many administrative tasks because they, they can speak the language easily. Do you feel that they had a hard time scaling their business early in the early years?
Absolutely. Like what you mentioned is so true. So more than a passion for Italian or for everything that is like administrative, I would say it was kind of like a need that the family had. And being an immigrant, like a daughter of immigrant parents, it's something that you have to do, but because you feel like you're responsible and you own something to the family. So, of course, the launch of the business, the launch of Mulan wasn't easy at all, especially for them who didn't know the language very well. So I was the only person who was really able to help them, and I didn't even doubt one second, should I do that or should I not? So most of the time, yes, the immigrants, like the daughters or sons of immigrant families, they tend to have a harder time, but that's because they are used to, from since they are little, to see their parents, to actually not ever be in their comfort zone. Our parents have decided to move from their own country to go to a place very far away, and they knew from that day they would have always been out of the comfort zone. And the same for us, being kind of the daughter and the product of something which is very risk taker, very out of the comfort zone, such as our parents teach us very well how to manage these situations and always to look for a way to solve issues, to solve problems, even if things seem very difficult.
And when did you decide to get involved in the family business? I read also that you spend sometimes your evening helping them. So lots of sacrifices, and I would say also a long-term vision that, you know, motivated you to get involved. And by the way, this didn't prevent you from studies and earn your diploma with honors in economy and international management. So yeah, how did you start working with them, and what make you decide to do it?
So after, while I was studying, I actually work with them every time I could, because, you know, when it's a family business, you put 100% of yourself in it. There's no difference of timings. It's not that you need to work from like 9 to 5, but it's something that the whole family has a passion for. We all work on this mission. We all truly believe on the results we want to bring home. So since I was little, I always, yes, work with them very closely. But after I finished my studies, I asked myself what I really wanted to do. And I wanted to see what was out there in the world besides my own little house, my own little family business. And that's why I tried other jobs such as management consulting, finance, and many others. But when I was there, I truly realized I took so many sacrifices to get there, and I actually reached to many, you know, ambitious and Fortune 500 companies. And while I was there, I asked myself, is this it? Is that something I truly wanted, or I feel like it's not enough? And here is the moment I understood that I felt like I had something more to give. The fact that I was the product of two different cultures, I asked myself, I really want to be a bridge between Italy and China, but not only. So I feel like I'm a bit European, I'm a bit international, a bit Asian. Like, who am I? And how can I use what I have to make a difference? And from keep asking me these questions, finally I found an answer. And the answer was actually in front of my eyes. I had a family business, and what the family business did was everything I was looking for. To use my capabilities, my skills on the business side and entrepreneurial side to really make a difference on the food industry, making sure that everybody in Europe are able to try a bit of authentic Asia.
Definitely. And you know, you are bridging cultures through food, through soft power, which is, you know, culture and food and sharing your tradition. And also I read in the website of Mulan that you mentioned that Mulan was born from the desire to convey love for Oriental cuisine and transform the consumption of Asian food into something more authentic, a world of stories, traditions, knowledge and flavors. Let us a bit, you know, taste. What do you drink? What do you cook? So, what is one of the main dishes that you sell, and which one is your favorite one? Maybe.
That's a very hard question because I love many, many things. But the most known food is probably all the dumplings. And so it's something that I truly love because you can have dumplings in so many different varieties, colors, and with different fillings, different type of skin of the dumplings. So it's something very unique that represents Asia and is generally loved by everybody.
I love them. I mean, I just can't wait for the end of the lockdown to, you know, eat food outside in a restaurant. And I love Chinese food. So, yeah, amazing. Let's talk about you as a woman working on business, because you, if I don't make a mistake, you did an internship in finance, right?
Yes.
You witnessed during that experience another form of discrimination, which is sexism. What did you learn from that? Was it something that motivated you even more to become a CEO and to prove that, hey, I'm a woman and I can do it?
So I believe that being a woman, being a CEO, is not something that people cannot do and cannot achieve. I always did something that I was little not ready to do. Like, I think that's really how you grow. When there's a moment of, wow, I'm not sure I can do this, and you push through these moments, that's when you have really a big breakthrough. So I believe that women are leaders everywhere you look, from the CEO who runs a Fortune 500 company to even the housewife who raises their children and heads her household. I feel like Italy, our country, Europe over as a whole, but the world in general is built by strong women, and we will continue to break down these walls and defy stereotypes.
Powerful, powerful and hopeful. And I'm sure that with more women like you and like all the guests that I'm interviewing for We Belong, if we see more women achieving, you know, such results, we will have a definitely an impact. Today, as you mentioned previously, your goal for Mulan is to reach Europe and to sell food also in other European countries. And so my question for you is more related to Europe as a whole. What is your vision for Europe? And not only on an economic level, of course, related to this crisis, but also on the idea, the symbolic and the identity of Europe.
So I think EU is very important today, especially now during the COVID-19, is more important than ever. You know, European Union goals and objectives is actually really to promote its values and well-being of its citizens, as maybe, you know, the country itself standalone would not be able to. I believe that now, unfortunately, the age of young people in the European Union is actually a very small percentage. If we actually consider the statistics that we have, like European population is around more than 500 million people, but just 160, I guess, million, only around like 30-35% are young people under 30 years. So I believe that Europe, more than really sharing and promoting peace, values and everything, should really promote and give voice to young people.
Thank you. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think that we already proved through the elections, through the European elections, that we want to be part of the European project. You know, we recorded a historical results in the votes, where for the first time, young people were really involved, and we still don't see them enough on decision-making processes. So I agree with you. Well, I am super happy to share your story, and I want you to conclude by sharing one key message that you would give to young women that listen to us and that, you know, would dream of becoming entrepreneurs, but also to the ones, and especially to the ones who think they can't or they, you know, they would not, because of maybe their imposter syndrome or because they are not confident enough. What's one message that you want to share with them?
Yes, for sure. I actually think that something that really ties to also the podcast and the name of the podcast is the word belonger. The name of the podcast is We Belong. And I think the term belonger is amazingly powerful. When a nation embraces its own as belonging here, as opposed to just living here, it really creates a different form of loyalty. And it reminds us that this is where we belong. So all the efforts does not just benefit our own self, but also the whole community. So I believe that for all those who really want to create their own business, to want to be part of a community and a society, a better society, is always ask ourselves, what if companies had belongers rather than employees? What if countries had belongers rather than citizens? So always really make sure that those people who you want to build a company with, they really feel part of belonging of a project, belonging of a vision and a final objective. And last but not least, to do that in order to be very successful is only by surrounding yourself with people who are going to lift you higher.
Definitely. And I think that you couldn't end better by endorsing We Belong as a message, a strong message, but also to reminding that, first of all, if we want to achieve results, we have to include and motivate people to be part of our initiative or our project or our business. So belonging, involving, and including, I would say. Thank you, Giada. Thank you for sharing with us your work, your story, your philosophy, because, I mean, I was so impressed by the lessons that I learned through this discussion. And thank you to, continue to do this work and to show that as a woman, you can be a leader, a CEO, and an inspiring person. So thank you. And I hope that you will taste Mulan food soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Yasmin.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
To conclude, I'm happy to share with you my key for today. As we embark in a very unusual summer after a few months of confinement, but also after a long month of appraisings, social justice appraisings all across the world, but especially in the US and in Europe, where brown people, black people confronted institutions, society, and take over the streets in order to ask for racial justice, I want to share a positive insight, a positive and inspiring insight, which is a book. My book for you and for this summer is Start With Why. It's a book from Simon Sinek, and it's a book on how great leaders inspire everyone to take action. And I think it's super important to take action and not only, feel negative about all these sparkling discourses on discrimination that we face as immigrant sons and daughters. I think it's super important to acknowledge it, but also to take actions as much as, all the activists all around the world are doing currently. And so Start With Why is a book from this inspiring motivational speaker, Simon Sinek, where he explains that the first step, if you want to communicate efficiently or if you want to start a new adventure or a project, you need to start with why. Build your sense of purpose. Why do you matter? Why does it matter? Why do you mind about the issue you are tackling? And you need to start with why before starting with how and with what. That's basically the main point of this whole book, but it's a very interesting book. And Simon Sinek is a very inspiring motivational speaker that I really suggest you to hear from and listen from and read from. This was the end of our episode. We Belong is a podcast produced by Le Cavalcade, and you can find us on all platforms and also on social media. Have a good day. Bye.